Gnapati gum hava mahe kavinka vinam upamashravastamam jeshthara jam brahmanam brahmanaspata anashrunvan utibhiseta satanam om shri maha ganapataye namaha sada shiva samarambham shankaracharya madhyamam Asmadacharya Pariyantam Vande Guru Paramparam. So sit comfortably. We'll do some of our meditation. You can close your eyes. You can take a few long and deep breaths. Settling yourself in your still, relaxed position. I put everything aside so I can contemplate on some of the points that are being discussed in the Shruti, in the Upanishad. So in the last mantra we're studying, we were saying the manaso manaha, the mind of the mind. One of the pointers to the Atma. So as we've learned earlier, discussed in detail in our previous course, how do you know there is a mind? I'm aware of the thoughts. Mind is thoughts. So I couldn't be the mind since I'm the one aware of the mind. I'm aware of the thought, and I'm also aware of the absence of the thoughts. Some thoughts are in the mind, they rise, they do different things, then they settle. At least for a few moments, the mind will be totally quiet at some point between thoughts. Later, some new thoughts arise and do their thing. So when the thoughts subside for that short time, I'm still there. Right? I, as the awareness, am still there. When the thought is present, am I not the same awareness? Have I become something, somebody else? Maybe I think I'm something else because of the state the mind happens to be in. But if I look back to those times when the mind was upset or excited, I can see I was the same one. I'm the same one, same awareness. Otherwise, I wouldn't say I was upset. Because I was there. and upsetness were there. I was aware of upsetness and I identified with it. I was there, and a state of mind called excitement was there, and I identified with it. Without I being there, how could any of that drama go on? The witnessing awareness has to be there to witness what's happening. And although I'm identifying with my mind maybe most of the time, when I analyze closely like this, I see that I'm aware. I'm the same awareness always. I'm not something changing, where the mind is something that's always changing. The unchanging awareness in and through all the changes in the mind. The Shanti Mantra, we'll start chanting together instead of part by part like we've been doing. So you already know where it is in your booklet at the beginning. Om Apyayantu Mamangani Vak Pranash Chakshushrotramato Balamindriyani Chasarvani Sarvam Brahma Upanishadam Maham Brahma Nirakuryam Mama Brahma Nirakarot Anirakaranamastvanirakaranam Bhestu Tadatmani Nirateya Upanishatsu Dharmas Te Mayi Santu Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi. Very good. So last week we were discussing about manasomanaha, the mind of the mind. Let's just read that mantra one more time, and a few more points we'll discuss about that one. So it's number 6, right?
Yad manasa namanute, yena hurmano matam, tadeva brahmatvam vidhi, tadeva brahmatvam vidhi, nedam yadidam upasate, yanmanasa namanute, yena hurmano matam, tadeva brahmatvam vidhi, Nedam yadidumupasate.
So it's saying, Brahman is that very consciousness which one does not know with the mind and by which the mind is known. right? Please understand this, that which one is meditating on or worshipping is not that Brahman. This is what is being pointed out. So the mind, right? So what happens is we have a whole world that we see around us. We see, we hear, we touch in this. Now, what happens is I see something, meaning there's some colors, forms. Where do they go? They get registered in my mind, right? Then I hear things. I hear things, they go get registered in the mind, or it's very beautiful music, or it's very disturbing sound. Oh, this somebody's saying something I understand because the language that I know, or some language I don't know, I hear, I can't tell what it is, like this. So it goes into the mind. So all the five senses, like streams, go to the mind. So really, my whole waking experience, where is it? It's the mind. Without the mind, where would it be? So literally, I'm dealing with the mind. Mind, something there, okay, there or not, but then filtered without the mind. So it's the mind, which actually is what I'm experiencing in everything, right? So this is the surface reality, if you want. My world. Right? Take away my, and then the world is very, very different, like this. So without my, then we wouldn't be objecting things the way that we do, objectifying and everything, because we say there is something, but that something is due to my conditioning, because without my conditioning, how would I see it that way? So this is all happening. Now, with all of this happening, then as we said, if I take a step back, I'm aware of this whole world of the mind, right? I'm aware of this. The mind is pervading all of the five senses, because Vedanta actually say, what is the world? Because world, meaning you experience it. Lokaha, lokaha, very much sounds like to look, the same root in Sanskrit, to look. Something experience, an experience. So my experiential world is there, right? I experience something. That's my world. So they say it's five things. It's shabda, sparsha, rupa, rasa, gandha, sounds and touch, sense of touch, and sight, and taste and smell. Those five things. Take those away. Where's your world? Show me your world then. That's our world. Those things. So those go to the mind. Now what happens? There's the mind there, and what we're discussing here a lot of the times is called pratyagatma. Pratyag is inner or innermost. That's why the mind of the mind, what is behind it, further back, because, as we said, I observe the mind, right? At least I can do it some of the time. Since I'm observing, I'm not the observed. That's one of the main things in the Drikdrisha Viveka Prakarana. Main thing is that the Drik and Drisha won't be the same. Observer, observed are never the same. They won't be the same. You can never have one thing observing another, which it's the same thing. And again, the example we gave, the person will say, yes, yes. You say, I can't see my eyes, but I have a mirror and I can look in and I can see my eyes. You'll say, that's very good, but you're seeing a reflection. You're not seeing your eyes. Like this. You don't see your eyes directly. So the Drik and Drisha, the perceiver perceived, will not be the same. So I'm aware of the mind, how can I be that? I'm the one behind the mind. So in the light of awareness, the mind is there. If I'm not aware of the mind, then mind is out of the way, deep sleep. You're not aware of the mind, the instrument isn't there. You get up, I was there. I was there in the deep sleep. I slept so well last night, right? Meaning that you are there, but the mind not. So how can you be that mind like this? Now this whole world of mind is, one thing that happens is we take the whole world of mind as being myself, this individual person, born in this place, living in this house, with this family, with this profession, etc., 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 like this. But that is just part of it, because now I'm aware of those things. Now, class will finish. Hopefully after the class will finish, I'll fall asleep, because it'll be late here in the East Coast. But I'll fall asleep. You'll follow me soon after too, hopefully also after the class. Then what happens is then I start dreaming. That's also part of my world, right? That's also. So I'm also experiencing that. I say I was in the sleep. So meaning, I the Atma, I, whoever is behind all this, was also experiencing that. Then I have the deep sleep, another state, and that deep sleep also I experience. These are not for the Sakshi. For me, I'm the same one. Will you say, how do you know it was your dream? Yeah, I was there, I know. How do you know you slept well? Oh, I know, I can tell. I was there, I knew nothing. It was so wonderful. I deal with all this nonsense in the world. I got a break from it. I got a break from myself, my imagined self, my limited self. So I got a break from it. So I was there the whole time. But the thing is, you were there, but these are really states of the mind. Now the mind is connecting to the senses. And so it experiences something through the senses. In the sleep, the senses are turned off. Yeah, so now then, the mind still gets to do a playback. One Swamiji says that it's like now we're watching everything, so it gets recorded, and then the sleep is just you press the play button afterwards. It's nothing new. It's what you got through the waking state. But you know, you do some editing. When you watch something, they edited it, right? You don't see the news or a sports event or a concert, anything. You watch it later, they edited it. So the dream, you edit the material from the waking state from this. But it's still the mind. You're dealing with the mind. Deep sleep, also state of mind. Just turned off. Mind is off. But same one as the witnessing awareness, I was the same one in all. So I'm the one behind that mind, because without me, it's like if there's a performance and nobody watches it, then there is, right? Nobody to watch, so there's no show really, because nobody's experiencing it. So without me behind the mind, what would the mind be? How could it do anything? It needs me behind it. Then the whole show can go on like this. Okay? So this is, so the pratyagatma, the one that's behind, innermost. You have them, because your senses, mine are more inner. I'm more internal to this. I'm more closer to myself. We'll hear pratyag, innermost, like this. So mind is still more external. There's world outside than my body. More go inside mind, more inside than myself as the consciousness, like this. And one other point here, which we brought up in the meditation, I think we mentioned last time too, with the mind also, is that the mind again is, that's how my experience of things. I think, okay, everything is one continuous flow of things. You go to a movie, it seems like a continuous flow. But then what happens is, let's say that we had a special eyesight that we could see in a sharper way. In a sharper way, meaning that I don't mean as distance or seeing a more refined picture, but speed-wise. Because when there's a movie, what is it? 16, 20 frames per second, something like this. So it seems continuous. If they slowed down the movie and it would be like 4 per second, 2 frames per second, it would see one picture, other picture, up, other picture, it wouldn't be continuous. So I'd see it's not continuous, right? So same way, if I could see in a way where I would need the 100 frames per second to look continuous, I'd see a movie and I'd be bored, because it would seem like a frame, wouldn't look like it's continuous. Because really, it's just one thing after the other. It's not something continuous. Now, my mind is also a thought, goes and comes. One thought comes, goes. Other thought comes, goes. It's just like this blips, where it's the same thing. It seems like a continuous flow. But if I were to look at it closely enough, it won't be something continuous. So my whole continuity of things is, the mind is taking it as continuous. This is very interesting. But in and through all that, and if you watch your mind, it's very interesting. The mind is jumping from one thing to the other so much, right? But somehow integrates, so it makes a story out of it. It makes a story to continue like this, connecting dots. Because actually you see things and the mind connects and puts it together and then makes some concept out of it, where where literally it's just some information, but it needs the mind to integrate all those little things and do it. So a whole integration process going on there. So all this integration, it's all, you know, just like computers work nowadays. It gets a lot of information. There's a lot of pixels on the screen. There's not your full continuous image, but it looks like it. It's not a continuous stream when I'm seeing your video, but it looks like it. So think of that. That's how my mind is. Everybody's mind. That's how the world is too. We all know a little bit of science. The world is like that too. Very interesting. The continuous, but it's continuous because the awareness is continuous. Any moment is there, you're not aware. You're not conscious. Always. So that's the continuous. So without that, it wouldn't work. Without the continuous light on the film, it wouldn't show the movie. So without the continuous awareness, it wouldn't go. The whole show wouldn't go on like this. So this is a very interesting thing then, that the mind is something, you know, the whole personality I take myself to be is an idea, and it's just blips coming and going, integrated, but then really, if I look at it closely, then what does it really? Really, it's the awareness behind with some other idea, with some ideas that were put together like this. But I identify that changing phenomenon not with a continuous awareness behind it like this. So this is a very interesting thing. And then my whole life is based on this persona idea and this idea of the world. Again, for vyavahara, for, you know, interacting with the world, then yes, it's useful. But then for identity, it causes identity crisis. Because when I identify with what I'm not, a crisis event will come around like this. Okay, so this is a little bit more about the mind. So let's go to the next mantra here. Digging into each one of the points talked earlier a little bit more with these mantras. It's elaborating on what was really in the first two mantras. Yat chakshusha na pasyati yena chakshumshi pasyati tadeva brahmatvam vitti nedam yadidam upasate. Yat chakshusha na pasyati yena chakshumshi pasyati tadeva brahmatvam vitti nedam yadidam upasate. Brahman is that very consciousness which one does not perceive with the eye, but by which consciousness one perceives the eyes, or perceives eyesight. This alone is that Brahman. Know this, not that which is worshipped here, which that one we discussed quite a lot, this Tvameva Brahma, that what's worshipped here will have to be a concept of perception, something that can't be what's the absolute, like this. So one point also brought up is each sense is called the Pramanam. Pramanam, we said, it's a valid means of knowledge. It's a means for knowing something. So eyes, for colors, forms, you need eyes. Without eyes, there's no color. A person born blind doesn't know color. They won't know. You know, if you're not born blind, you become blind later, you can tell the person it was, oh, what color are you wearing? I'm wearing red. Okay, then they'll still remember. But somebody born blind, there's no world of colors for them. So each one has that one, right? And why it's the valid means, it's the only means. Because somebody born blind will never know what color is. They can't know. Somebody born deaf will never know what music is, what sound is. They can't know. They can't hear it. So in this way. So each one has. But each one also works in a very limited perimeter, because it has that area and not the other one. Very just, each one is isolated. You know, we connect them through things, but they're in their own boxes, if you want, like this, right? And then, of course, each one, you need the mind sheds its light. Without the mind pervading it, it won't work. You're very busy with something, somebody calls you, The ear will function as it usually does, but the mind didn't connect to the sound because you're so focused in something. So without the mind pervading it, it's as good as not hearing like this. This is what happens. Okay? So it has its greatness, but also its limitation as well, like this. Each one is limited. Now, one thing also is with seeing. Seeing is believing, we say, like that, right? But an interesting thing is, people have an idea, Eastern world, of having the vision of God, darshan. First of all, going to the temple and this, but have an idea, I will worship the God, eventually I'll have their vision like this. In Vedanta, we say that's not going to do. And one illustration of this in Bhagavad Gita, 11th chapter, is the yoga of divine vision, right? Seeing the Vishwarupa darshana. So Arjuna sees the whole world is manifestation of Ishvara. So he sees it. But the thing, when you see it as manifestation of Ishvara, you're seeing it. So it's the manifestation there and I am seeing it. So it's separate from me. So it's still, not, that's as glorious and wonderful as it is, it still is dualistic. There's still the world, the Ishvara manifests the world, and me. So there still is that. And here Arjuna is seeing that, oh, you know, he was all frightened and all, but even somebody who has a wonderful vision, that doesn't do. You have to see also that same consciousness there is the same consciousness in me. Then there's no duality, and then there's no problem. There still is a duality. There still is me and something else. Okay, I'm still this limited one, and what will happen to me in this way? Now, of course, Vedanta, we start looking further, the whole world. So what's this body made out of? Same stuff. What's this? Everything's made out of same stuff in the world. So we have to look further than just seeing. This is an important thing. Okay. So because there, he didn't learn this point. He saw there's the Ishvara, but not the point that which is behind that Ishvara, that which is behind this mind and the senses. Tadeva brahmatvam vidhi. This is the Brahman. This is the bottom line, what we're looking for, like this, okay? So what happens is we see. Seeing is just seeing, as we've talked about before. If I just see without thinking of the things, without the mind getting in the way, there's seeing. There's no problem. But once I see, then the mind comes in and starts to break things up, give names to everything, right? Name to this is book, this is table, this is ceiling, this is inside, this is outside. All this stuff it starts doing. So the mind is the culprit through all of my conditioning, starts breaking it up. Just seeing, no problem. So this is how this separation is, okay? Where one thing or the other. Now, one thing also is that when we say things are apparent, that things appear, then we say that if something, its nature is in a certain way, the nature will always be in that way. Something's nature doesn't change, the swarupa. Something can appear different, but its nature is the same. Like water is H2O. If you heat it up and it becomes steam, now it's H2O with a different form. Now you put it in the freezer, becomes ice, it's a different form, but it's H2O. The nature stays the same, the swarupa. So what happens, an external, something that appears will be there, the form is apparent, the substance is always the same. So what happens then is that I'm seeing, seeing isn't part of my nature, because if I don't see, I'm still there perfectly fine. Right? If I don't see for some time, I'm still there. Right? If I don't think, I'm still there. So these, we say, they can't be, what is there just under certain conditions is conditional. Right? Seeing is conditional, thinking is conditional. So if it's conditional, it can't be the essence. It's only conditional, then it's depending. It depends on something else, depends on certain conditions being there, then it'll manifest. If those conditions aren't met, it won't manifest, right? So meaning that it's not substantially there. This is why we say, if you want to say mithya, it's quite a large topic that we opened a little bit of, because the thing is, otherwise, if it's part of your nature, it has to always be there. But it's not always there. If it's not always there, then how can it be your essence? We're looking, what's the essence? My essence always there. So what is behind these things which are conditional? What is my nature is what's behind the conditional. Otherwise, the conditional, I'd be totally fine. And actually, something in its natural state has no problem like this. It has no issue. Like the example of, if you were to take a heavy backpack and carry it for a while, your shoulders will start hurting, right back starts hurting, like this. Because it's not a natural thing for you. No matter how well it's designed, it'll start disturbing after some time. Okay? But how long have you been carrying this big, heavy thing here on your neck and shoulders? Right? Our head, the skull we're carrying for so long, but we don't feel like we're carrying it because it's natural, like this, right? The snake has poison in it, natural, doesn't mind. If we get that poison in us, it's not natural for us. We have to go to the emergency room very quickly, right? Like this. So what happens is, if these things that are conditional were just natural sitting there, no problem. The ideas in the mind, all the ideas, if that's natural, but obviously not because it's causing me so much trouble. So all these ideas, it's not the natural. Somehow we got caught up in something. Somehow. Maybe it's growing pains, who knows. Growing from, you know, gorilla, now I'm human, so growing pain to become, human to become God person, whatever. But in any case, it shows that it's not what's naturally me. What is my natural state? So I have to look beyond it, like this. But in any case, so when I see now, so I see you, I am seeing. This is a bit of the Triktisha Viveka. I see you, so I say that I'm seeing you. Meaning the sight goes into the mind. And the mind says, idam, this bottle, this person, right, this world, idam, that, this. And then the mind also has to have a counterpart, aham, I see this. That's also a thought. I, this person, am seeing that thing. So both of those are in the mind. Both of those are vrittis. They're both thoughts. Without that counterpart, where would the seeing be? Just I see. Because I'm aware, I'm the awareness. Within the awareness, that split happens. When that split isn't there, you're not going to have objects in this. We talked about the exercise, just to see without the mind. Just see without thoughts. Then you're not whole, there aren't objects. You know, it's like a very thin thing. Because the moment there's object there, I mean there's an object, there's the subject and the object. For the object, there's me and I know it's that thing because I've seen it before. But you're just present, aware, watching, where's object? You don't think of it. So very quickly the mind breaks it to ahamidam, this and me. They're seeing and I'm the one who's seeing. Like this. This is what happens. So these two are the base vrittis in the mind, it breaks it. And it's very interesting. I is an idea in the mind, not I is idea in the mind. There are ideas in the mind, like this. And again, as we said, vivahara for functioning, very useful. But for identity, it causes a problem, like this. So this is important to know when we're experiencing. So this is one other interesting point here. Okay. Now, one other very important point about this. There is a rule that when you have an effect, the cause is going to manifest within the effect. Okay? You have the ornament, the gold is manifest in the ornament. Right? The lady goes to the jeweler, says, here's, you know, I have this 200 grams of gold, I want a necklace. She'll go. He gives the necklace, she said, that's very good, but where's my gold? What do you mean, where's my gold? It's in the necklace. Right? It didn't go anywhere, it's in the necklace. Where you take the kids to, there's this worst shop in the world, this shop where they have all the different candies, they're all these gummy candies, different size, different shape, different this. As a kid, I didn't know that shop, and I'm glad I didn't know. But the kids love it, they'll go crazy there. And all the different colors in this, but what is it all? It's all sugar. It's just sugar in different colors and forms. That's it, right? Nothing else. And if you take a kid there, you know, they're going, you can't restrict them too much. You know, they have to have some bag to take, or otherwise it'll be himsa, right? Like this. So now what happens is, so usually when I think of cause and effect, I say, okay, there's the cause, the sugar, and it was made into something else. And I forget, that was in the beginning, but now it's something else. There was gold, now the necklace was made. But the thing is, the cause didn't go away. The cause is still in and through the effect. It didn't go anywhere. And this is the material cause. So material cause, look, if the material cause, the way you know it's there is, you know, the gold, you could, the ornament, you can melt back down. It's always there. It's really gold just in the form of an ornament. Nothing changed except for the form. You go to the candy shop, you'll take any one of the things they have there and go do a chemical analysis, it'll be sugar, and that's it. And this way, you know, it's an example. You'll say, no, they put some food coloring, whatever, but it's an example. So those minor things you put aside. So now what happens, we say, okay, I am the one, I am the eye of the eye. Chakshushaha chakshu, right, to make it complicated like this, but in Sanskrit, chakshushaha, of the eye, chakshuhu, the eye. So, eye of the eye, meaning the sight, I'm the one behind the sight. So, meaning, without the awareness, there isn't sight. So, you could say it's the cause of the sight, because I'm the consciousness. Without a conscious being, there's no seeing. So, I'll say you see, but there's just colors, forms. Where did the consciousness go? There's seeing. So, just like when you take these other examples we took, where you take the candy itself, you say, where did the sugar go? The sugar is in and through it. So the eye of the eye, on the one hand, we say the perceiver. That's the first thing we have to do. You have to pull back. I'm the perceiver of it. I'm the one behind it. Otherwise, this next step doesn't work. Right? That's why here first says, chakshushaha chakshuhu. Right? Here, yena chakshumshi pashyati, by which the eyes see. So that which is behind the eyes. First you say, it's the eye of the eye, the one behind it. After that says, tadeva brahma, that is Brahman. We'll connect those. So what happens is, okay, so I'm seeing. Where, so you say, okay, I'm the awareness behind the seeing. Okay, very good. But now as I see, where within the seeing is the awareness not present? Right? Show me one place, as you see, that the awareness isn't present there. The awareness is in through everything you see. As I see, there's awareness, plus some appearance and some name I give to it, right? Some form and some name I give to it. But the awareness is in through all of it. Just like the candy in the shop, there's some color that makes it look a little different, otherwise sugar. Here it's awareness. And then plus some, you know, some color, something happening, right? Where in the seeing is the awareness not? So the thing is, though, because this is one reason why the Viveka Vairagya important, some Vairagya needed to look into these things, I say, yeah, but I see this person I really don't like in this, and I'm very excited I'll see this person I didn't see for a long time. I see that it's inauspicious, I don't want to see. So I'm caught up in what I'm seeing, so I can't go and analyze the seeing itself. Because the thing I see, whatever object is there, that's projected in my mind what it is. It's my conditioning. But seeing its awareness, in and through its awareness. Right? So where's the eye of the eye is not just behind the eye, but in it through whole seeing, it is awareness. What is it other than awareness there? Any little thing you take there, you'll say, well, I see the table. Yeah, table awareness? Is there a table without the table awareness in your experience? There cannot be a table without table awareness in your experience. Can't be. So it's awareness plus idea of table, right? So anything you take, it's awareness plus some namarupa, name and form. And those are that the mind is adding to it. The mind is adding something. Because if you don't think, you just see the table. Without the mind adding that, you're just seeing. There's just awareness. The mind comes in and says, what I'm seeing is this, and I've seen it before. So the important thing here, the eye of the eye isn't just what's behind, but in and through, the essence of it also. The essence of experience is awareness. So we took the seeing, for example, because we're seeing about seeing, right? Like that, discussing about seeing. It could be taken for the other senses, mind, etc. as well. But this is a very interesting thing. You try it. That's something you try yourself. You just take some time and you watch and you see, as I'm looking, where it's all awareness. Awareness, and you'll say, but there's that object. Well, that object is within my awareness, or I wouldn't experience. It's within seeing. So seeing is awareness, like this. Like everything you see, the light is in and through everything. Without the light, you wouldn't see it. Similar thing. It's light you're seeing. It's some other stuff, but light is the main thing. So this is a very important point. Because you have to start first to withdraw from my idea. I have an idea, a structure that I take myself to be. So this helping to withdraw from it, not to have as much a rigid identification. Yeah, go back, I'm the one who's observing the sight. Yeah, I'm the one who's aware of the hearing. I'm the one behind it. Without me, there wouldn't be. Because I know these I see are some limited things, but I feel I'm something more behind these things. Without them, I'm still there. Without them, they couldn't be there without me behind for functioning. So that's good. First I see that. But then I have to look and I see I'm in and through it. Right? Since eyesight, the whole range of eyesight, it's the awareness. Everywhere you look, it's awareness. Right? You see the sun, I'm aware of it. Sun awareness. Right? Awareness within the awareness, there's something I call sun, like this. Without me being aware of it, it doesn't exist in my world. Like that. So this is, and when you see this, then the object is just like a ripple, not a small idea within it. Because awareness is awareness. Any object can come and go and the awareness stays the same. Last time we had brought the idea of the chidakasha, space-like awareness that I have. Because awareness is space-like, you can't, what shape is it, what color is it? It's not none of those. Everything that I experience is within it. So like the space. So just like the space is there and accommodates any objects that want to be there or don't want to be there, it's fine, it's the same, right? Space will go away, where will be the objects? They can't exist. So within the, you know, seeing awareness in the form of seeing in and through, whatever objects are there, they're just within the space of awareness. Where awareness goes away, where will they be? Right, I close my eyes. Where's all the things within the awareness of sight? They have to be, the awareness has to be there for them to appear there, it wouldn't be like that, right? 1/5 of our world like this. Actually, more than 1/5, because tasting, smelling is so much less, so they don't give us too much. When the dogs have Vedanta class, they start with the nose of the nose, but we're in human Vedanta class, not dog Vedanta class. It'll get to there. Pranasya pranaha, later it's talked about smelling, so that's special for the man's best friend, like that. Okay, we can leave it for them then. But in any case, like this. So this is how you take them from the eye of the eye, chakshushah chakshuhu. To make it more complicated, chakshushah chakshuhu becomes chakshushash chakshuhu, to make it even more complicated in Sanskrit. Just to be able to read and break the words is already very complicated. Start going to grammar even more, but no problem. You don't have to know Sanskrit for this. You know, we're looking at ourselves, not at language, right? So what happens then is, okay, so then the seeing is the awareness. Where is it limited then? Right? I can see only so far, but my awareness is in or through the seeing. You're so funny. potentially seeing can be I see there can be infinite directions, infinite depth, infinite this. It's all within the awareness. What limitations there in the awareness there? Even I can only see so far. The awareness is beyond that, right? Not limited there. So then where is the Brahman? Right? That is the Brahman, because there's no limitation there. Brahman is no limitless. Right? Limitless. Where in the awareness there's limitation? The eyesight, since it has a purview, it's limited. But where the awareness that's in and through it, where is it limited? No, I can't see beyond that. Yep, but you're aware of that. Any limitation is within your awareness. Right? You know. I can see I'm in this room, I can see to the wall, it's dark out there, I can't see beyond. Yeah, I can see that's the limits within my awareness then. So here, when you see that the awareness is what's behind it, but then in and through, there's no limitation there. The sense itself has a limitation, right? My senses have, the eyesight has a limitation, can only see, you know, as we said, a certain pace. After a certain pace, it looks continuous, we said, right? A certain frequency, right? Certain distance, certain, you know, fine print we can see so far, beyond that we can't. So it has its limitation. But that's just the manifestation from the eye perspective, right? But the awareness behind it doesn't have that same limitation, because that's just within the limitation space, within the space of awareness. Just like you'll say that the space, we're in the room, and the room has these many objects in it. But the space isn't limited by that, right? It's not limited by that space. Whatever you put there, space is the same. It doesn't have that limitation that the object has. So this is a very important point about this, that take from being the one behind the sense to see that it's that the awareness, you, the conscious awareness, impersonal awareness, right? The mind is the personal, I'm this much, but this is impersonal. If it was personal, still there's some personal means some identification, some idea I'm identifying with. But as the impersonal awareness, I'm in and through everything, the whole sight and beyond it. So how can I be limited by it? So this in and through the seeing, it's manifest. And the Brahman, we say, then watches in and through everything. It is the base of everything. In the end, everything comes from that, we say. So whole eyesight is, it's whatever, just like the gold in and through the whole, or all the ornaments, the sugar in and through all the sweets there. Same way here, the awareness in and through a whole range of seeing. Where is it not? What is not in there? So it's in and through it and beyond it, right? It's in the candy shop, but there are many candy shops, so in and through all them. And even there's sugar that's not been processed and not in the candy shops, like this. So it's imminent, in and through, and transcendent, not limited by that. It's not limited by, okay? Now, this doesn't mean, okay, to get it, then I have to go even further. I can see so far, I need to expand further. You don't need to expand further, because you're aware, it's aware. There's no condition, because when we say it's not limited, right, not limited by space, it doesn't mean, oh, it's so big that there's space and it's even bigger, right? It means that it's not, the category of space won't, there's nothing, category of space won't do anything to it. Yes, so it's in and through, but space, it's spaceless, doesn't have anything to do with the space, right? Like, the whole dream was within you, but you're not limited by anything in the dream. You're in and through the dream, but you're not limited by it. The whole thing of the dream has no limitation on you. Because you were in and through it, but it's of a different dimension, right? Like this. So I see everything, and the awareness is through it. It's in and through it, but it can't be limited by it. So the moment I know I'm that awareness, you know, seeing can be limited, but the awareness, what can be limited by? So this one is that, the Brahman, the limitless in this way. You know, you take everything, also whatever you see, it's limited in time like that. Awareness, what time is there in awareness? In seeing, there's time, you know, my eyes are tired late in the day, maybe I can't see as well. Whatever, I see there is time because I see movement, things start, end, all this. So there is something to do with time there. The moment there's movement, there's time in there. But as consciousness, as impersonal awareness, what is time? Right? For space, what is time? You'll say, well, if there's two objects and they're moving, no, not the objects, the space. The space asks you, what's time? The space won't know what is time because it's homogeneous, always the same. There's no time for it. Here, if there was time, then I would be somebody different as the impersonal awareness, different yesterday, today different, tomorrow be different. As a person, yes, there are changes. But as the impersonal awareness, where's the change? Always the same awareness, right? Like this. So that's why nityam, timeless, doesn't mean a very long time. Yeah, I was there. There was thousands of years ago is before that. Thousands of years later after. Yeah, of course. But it's not in the category of time. Just like, again, the dream time. You wake up, the whole dream time means nothing to you now. It just appeared as it was, because it just appeared within you. It's not of the same dimension that you are. So the time factor also, from the personal awareness, the impersonal awareness, doesn't mean anything there. It'll say, what do you mean by time? Like this, because, you know. Look, time proves one thing, we age, right? We're aging, that's time. But within you, not you as the person, you as the awareness. How old are you as the awareness? Have you aged as awareness? Same thing, nothing different. There's no change there. So this, it's not, so when talking about Brahman, spaceless, all expansive, it doesn't mean a very large space, right? It just means the category of space that has nothing to do with it. From its perspective, space is apparent. Time, eternal. From its perspective, time is apparent, like this. I'm aware, so I'm aware in and through the seeing. When you're really just seeing, and you're taking it as, and you just see, I'm aware, then the seeing is just apparent within the awareness, like this. So that's why it's just apparent within it. That's why this is what's behind it, behind in and through it, transcends it. Imminent in and through it, but transcendent, not limited to it, because you just see, and yeah, I'm aware. Whatever appears, appears, doesn't appear, but the awareness is in and through it, not affected by it, not limited by it in any way. This is the thing. So this is an important point here about this, how you take from what it's the source behind to it's in and through, and not just in and through, then it negates it makes the actual seeing, the seeing as we take a subject, object, and everything, as takes away its substance. It stays just very, you know, empties it, that it then it just becomes very surface, doesn't have substance, and that's mitya. Because seeing depends on you being aware, right? It's all dependent on that. Dependent existence is mitya, because it doesn't stand on its own, meaning it's as good as being apparent, you know, like this. So in this way. Let's see a few other points of this. Yeah, there is one other interesting point like this. We maybe said last time, it's a very good point like this. So then you see, and so since I'm seeing, I say the world is there because I see it, right? Now, you woke up in the morning, you look out the window, yes, I see, the world is there. Now, did the world come and say, good morning, I'm here? Hello, I'm here. You said the world is there. Not that the world came and said that. So I see, I'm aware, and then I say, I'm aware of this. This is there, right? It's not that that is saying. Like that, very interesting. That without my getting involved, what's there? I take my labeling out, I'm just aware, I'm aware, very good. But then I add all these things. This is what happens. So this is attributed, Ramana Maharshi attributed, to say the world doesn't say I'm there. It doesn't tell you that, like this. So these are things, you know, to really look at, but I thought very important in here. And it's, you know, just not my saying, it's in the in the teachings and everything like this, that starts with saying, yes, the eye of the eye, but then this is how, then it says Tadeva Brahma. Why is it Brahma? Why is it all pervasive here? And we took one sense, one of five. The others work in the same way. They don't work in a different way than the mind, as though it works in a different way, right? Thoughts and this show any thought, emotion, feeling, concept. The awareness isn't through it the same way. It's the awareness in and through, and then some other thing. And that some other thing, if you look at it closer, the awareness in and through, no matter how much you look into in and through. And the rest is, doesn't have much substance. The substance becomes practically nothing. Then you can see through that, the, you know, seeming substance it has, seemingly to be something, you know, something substantial like this. But then after you really sit back using this, the vision it's giving here, and look at it closely like that, see it in that way, because I'm used to seeing through habit, seeing things in a certain way, right? Just to change how I see something simple isn't always easy, right? Isn't easy to see from a different angle. So here it's taking from a totally different angle. Do you take all of the, as our teacher Vijayaji would say, you know, it's not a point of view, but just the view. Take the point of view away, just the view itself. So to just change to a different point of view takes a bit. You take the view, no point. Takes a little bit more, but slowly we look into it and clarify, and then, you know, if we really look into it, why can't we see like this? Why not? It's natural. It's just a little bit of confusion is there that we have. Put that confusion aside and no problem. Then Tadeva Brahma, Tvam Vidhi, that is Brahma. It's not impersonal awareness. It's not, it's, yes, it's my essence, but essence of everything, because whole idea I gets put aside, because it's a notion. The whole limited idea of I put aside. And then no problem. Then you can relax, be happy. You don't have to be happy. You're content within yourself. We want to be happy, we chase after it. When you're not chasing after, you're just content in yourself, no need for happiness, because you are, you know, you are the fullness like this. So these are a few points about what's being discussed here. Let's finish with that for today. Purnamidham Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnamevavashishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi. So before we go, if there's any pertinent question, we can take a few minutes for that. Yes, Radha.
As you were speaking, I was just thinking, when we normally use, you know, in our daily, when we say I'm aware, it's more the mind that we're talking about when we use the terms out. Like, I'm aware of the temperature in the room.
Yeah.
I'm aware of, you know, seeing everyone on the screen. I mean, we're not looking at the awareness that's in and through everything. Like, I'm just thinking of the terminology. It's almost like the awareness from the witnessing consciousness is kind of beyond words, like everything else there, right?
Yeah, that's why any word will, no word will do. That's why impersonal awareness is a very good way to say it like this. You know, Sakshi, we use the witnessing consciousness. So witnessing consciousness would be, you know, in pertaining to your observing the mind like this, pertaining to that. So it'd be that. Impersonal awareness, I think, is a very good term that's used for it, like that. But it's true, any term you'll use won't suffice. That's why so much has to be pointed out, because we can get into so many other misconceptions about it, like that.
Thank you.
Very good. So something to contemplate on for the week. And again, please, these things brought up, take time to contemplate, think about them. This, something doesn't sit, doesn't make sense, or not clear this, bring it up. We'll discuss more, because the whole idea is to, for that, not just to leave it. You take it, a few points about it, leave it, that's it, but for something to look into. And so we can look deeper into this to clarify. Not clear, ask, we try to clarify again or a different way. Or you just take it, you do mananam, reflect on it and see from there, oh wow, it opens more things, clear, then great in this way. Because otherwise, we study these things and they stay as some nice ideas that I kind of understand, I just leave them there. And then what? So this is for vichara, for really looking into, taking these, really looking into it like this. Because not to keep an idea, I'll study it. Oh yeah, it's very hard, I don't think I can get there. Oh, this is another concept. Put those things aside. You didn't reach out to looking into, right? We're inquiring into, that's it. Not with any ideas, oh, I've done for so many years, I must know something. Not like that. These are all just ideas. We're really taking, these are pointers that help to look into, and then help us to have clear understanding what I am without all the idea, all the ideas that put on like this. Very good. So have a good week, and we'll continue next time. Okay. Om.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Enjoy your time there.